Welcome to this episode of the Building Texas Show. Today, I'm thrilled to be in Marble Falls, Texas, visiting with Mayor John Packer. Mayor, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. Surviving that wind that came through the last few days.
Yeah, finally done. You can see the lake in the background. It's a little calmer today.
I imagine when that wind comes through there like that, it on a narrow lake, it can create a lot of swell and just noise.
Yep, it kind of channels it right down the lake. So it is rare, but we had white caps on the lake this week.
Wow. Well, thank you for spending time with us today. I really wanted to get to know you and Marble Falls because it's a beautiful city there on 281 and a city that a lot of Texans go to, but I don't know that they know much more about. So we're excited to dive into everything Marble Falls. What inspired you to run for mayor and how did you start your path towards leadership in the city?
Well, I never really planned all my life to be a politician. I guess I wouldn't consider him a politician, but I moved to Marble Falls many years ago and just for a job and just got out here and liked it, so I was able to stay here. So it's such a nice community. Just enjoy being part of the leadership and trying to help focus on the vision and the way we want Marble Falls to be.
And as mayor in Marble Falls, what does that role look like? I assume it's a near volunteer role that works with city council, but what else goes into being mayor?
Well, as mayor, you're obviously the leader of the council. I'm just one vote on the council, but you're kind of a connection between the rest of the council, the city staff, and the resident. And it just, you basically are facilitating conversations and things between all those people.
And do you feel like your background, professional background, maybe got you ready for the role, or has it been a learning curve?
Well, I think it has. I'm a small business owner, have been for over 20 years, and it's important that you try and run the city like a business, just like you run a private business. So I think just those types of relationships between customers, vendors, and different relationships there definitely helped with my ability to do the same here at the city of Marble Falls.
We're seeing some construction behind you. Is that common in Marble Falls right now? Are you seeing the growth that Central Texas is experiencing?
Yeah, we're getting a lot of growth. It's a nice place to live, and I think a lot of people just want to move here. We'll talk more about it, but the construction behind us, the hotel conference center that we have been working on that project for quite a few years, and it's finally under construction. It's right here on the lake and kind of connected to Main Street. So, but yeah, there's a lot of other construction as well.
Well, that's exciting to have a hotel convention center moving into a city like Marble Falls, and I'm seeing more of that push for attracting conventions, businesses, and others to cities because of hotel occupancy tax and other incentives that really do incentivize the city to go out and market itself.
Yeah, and here in Marble Falls, the hotel conference center, we do rely a lot on tourism, hot tax, a lot on sales tax. So bringing more tourism definitely is a goal of the convention center. Another goal, though, is that our Main Street it's on the end of Main Street right at the lake. And we've always said that the lake is our biggest asset, but we haven't, for years, we didn't really do much with that in our plan. And so the hotel conference center will actually kind of connect Main Street, the lake, and our Main Street where we have shops and restaurants and things like that is just a couple blocks away. So the intention is to bring in visitors, conventions, and kind of let that develop between the existing Main Street businesses and the lake and the conference center.
And with tourism being a primary driver in Marble Falls, what does that look like in the next 3 to 5 years for economic development in general? How are you, or how is the city pursuing economic development?
Well, so a big part of that, obviously, is this things like the Hotel Conference Center. But we have a very strong Economic Development Corporation that is here in Marble Falls that works really closely with the council and all the other organizations. We're a little bit different than a bigger city, EDC, to where we're not actively going out looking for people to move here with businesses and sending them with all kinds of financial incentives and things like that. We're in a situation where we're a place where people want to live. And along with that, we're a place where people would like to have their business. So we at our EDC is real good at working with those people to just help find partners or partner with the EDC and find a good fit for those businesses here in Marble Falls. So we say we're not actively out looking for giving away a lot of incentives and things like that. We just take it on a kind of one case at a time basis and deal with that opportunity. Sometimes do incentives as well, but
my question follow up around that is on business retention. It is a great place to go and visit. Do you see businesses staying there for a long time, or do you see them without that incentive? Are they moving, or is this just where they want to be and they're locked in? And you have some historic businesses there and restaurants in Marble Falls that seem to continue to do well.
Yeah, I think for the most part, you know, businesses, once they're established here and they're doing well, they stay. I think as far as the new businesses coming here, it's an opportunity for them to get set up. We have a lot of different areas in town that are now developing, mostly with residential and then retail centers that'll be around that. But I mean, I think we have a pretty good retention of our local businesses. A big part of our EDC is working with the local businesses as well, so that we don't forget about them. We need to make sure we do retain all those businesses. So a big part of our EDC is working close with them on business retention and doing what we can do to support those businesses. We have different programs. Like, we have grants. If an older building needs a facelift, we have grants with the EDC to help fund some of the facelift, things like that. So we definitely focus a lot on business retention.
My last question on this vein of questions is, do you see a lot of commuters from Austin or San Antonio that live in Marble Falls, but they work in the bigger cities?
Do we see that? We do. I think you see it less now. There's still quite a bit of it, but what changed that a little bit is that when our whole economy kind of changed unfortunately, with COVID, where people were able to work from home and things like that. So you might have people that commute into Austin 2 or 3 days a week, but they're able to work from home here in Marble Falls. I think that's a big change. So when you're driving one way or the other in the morning, you kind of see an equal amount of traffic going east and west coming out of Austin. So it's a little of both. We have a lot of people still commuting, but we also have a lot of people that live in towards Austin that work out this way.
Well, that's interesting. Well, over the next 3 to 5 years, I think Central Texas will continue to see steady growth, but that puts a strain on cities like Marble Falls. And I imagine as much water as you have just in your background there, water is still a big discussion for any city in this region. How are you looking at infrastructure and water in particular?
So in infrastructure in general, that's kind of a tricky thing, especially with a small town. Limited budgets, trying to be fiscally responsible. You can't just go build everything and hope that they come. We have a long list of projects that are in one stage or another in development, from looking at Marble Falls to, you know, ready to start breaking ground. The tricky part is planning that infrastructure enough to accommodate those that actually happen, but not too much where you've spent all kinds of money in certain one specific area of town, and then those things don't happen. So that's kind of a tricky balance. As far as water, I think everybody knows in Texas, water, at least west of the dry line, is what will either make an economy survive or not. And that's a huge issue right now. We've been working very hard the last number of years on trying to come up with plans to be a little more resilient. So we typically draw water out of the lakes, the Highland Lake system. We draw the water out of that and treat it, and that's our drinking water. We recently have purchased a large well water system that'll produce a lot of water as well, inexpensively. And then the third part of our long-term plan is we're building a new wastewater plant right now, some new technology. The final phase of that will be direct potable reuse of the wastewater, which is kind of a, makes people cringe a little bit, but it's, honestly, it's the future in Texas. If Texas is going to continue to grow, it's gotta reuse its water. Kind of give you an example. If we draw over 1 million gallons of water out of the lake every day to make drinking water, and we produce rough, these are just rough numbers, but roughly say 800,000 gallons of wastewater, we can turn that 800,000 into at least 600,000 or 700,000 gallons of water. So over half of our water we can reuse and not have to draw that out of the surface water. It's just a kind of a no-brainer.
And that's reuse, not as purple pipe irrigation use. You're saying fully drinkable, ready to go back into the system.
That's correct. Yeah.
That's impressive from a technology standpoint. And you're the first city that I've heard talk about that. Yeah. Because some of these wastewater facilities are getting aged out.
Well, that's interesting too. We, and this back to your original question about infrastructure was we have a wastewater plant that was built in the 50s and it's aging out. It's also, we've reached the capacity point where TCEQ is requiring us to plan and build more capacity. So rather than add on to that old facility, we're relocating a whole new facility to replace that capacity. But in addition to that, add capacity, double the capacity that we'll have for the future. And that's, again, that's another new technology on that wastewater side, but then that will also allow us then to turn that water immediately into purple pipe, which we have, we do purple pipe now. We use a lot of water in our purple pipe system, but it'll turn that purple pipe water, into drinking water.
And you play a part in the One Water Initiative. And I know in my community, we're part of that as well, but can you tell us a little bit about what that looks like and how that partnership came to be?
Well, I think that's just it. When we started looking at new technology on the wastewater side and how to treat the water, it kind of just started falling into place naturally. The water coming out of that into our purple pipe will be even cleaner than we have right now. So it just makes sense to take that next step and go to the full reuse of the water for drinking water.
What was that perspective coming into the role in the city for you, just as a citizen coming into the seat? What have you learned about infrastructure that you would want people to really understand and they might not understand because they're not in it every day?
Well, when you get involved and so I was mayor for 6 years previously, and then I took 4 years off and then I got back in just about a year ago. And so I've been involved in this for a long time, and you learn way more about water and wastewater treatment than you can ever imagine. And it's just as a resident or a consumer, you turn the faucet on, you expect water to come out. You flush the toilet, you expect it to go down the toilet. It's amazing the millions and millions of dollars of infrastructure, planning, new infrastructure, maintenance, at personnel, you gotta have top-notch personnel running all that stuff. It's just amazing what it takes to make all that happen. It's something that people take for granted every minute of the day. And there's a lot behind that to make all that happen.
In part of my career, I worked at an electric co-op, and it was always amazing to me after living in that world for a little bit that turning on the lights is something we just do every day. We flip the switch, it's supposed to work.
But we get mad when they don't come on.
Right. You get frustrated. But it takes a lot of people to keep that grid above ground going. Same with your water infrastructure. It takes a team of engineers and talented professionals to keep that drinkable.
Yep.
And then you're faced with other throughout the year, flooding and things that do impact your water systems in unique ways.
Well, and that's, we have, unfortunately, we have flooding quite often. most recently, the 4th of July, that was devastating for everybody. We were fortunate here in the city of Marble Falls, but the lake that we draw the water out of was the Lake Marble Falls. The water turns to chocolate milk, and you've got to make drinking water out of that chocolate milk. And that just quadruples the cycle time, you know, having to rinse filters and clean and keep the process going to make that drinkable, because not everybody knows either that you're continually sending samples to the state, and they monitor the water as well as we do. It can be a real challenge in those times. And it didn't, once the flooding stopped, it took weeks for the lake to settle back down. So it's those weeks we're still fighting that same issue of trying to keep that, make clean drinking water out of that muddy water.
Staying on the infrastructure topic, the working with LCRA, working with TCEQ, working with all of the water people, that's a full-time job. But in a city, you're also working with traffic and TxDOT and your county on TxDOT roads. What does that look like for you? Because I know so many Texans have driven 281 through, and I think about it just here in this conversation. It's a small road at this point going through Marble Falls relative to what we see other highways becoming in Texas.
Right. Well, and kind of to answer that, we work very closely with the county and the county commissioners. One in particular is very involved with TxDOT and the planning and things like that. What's kind of unique about 281, it's a major road from Mexico to the northern United States. A lot of people use it as an alternative to 281 or to I-35. During the day, we have over 35,000 vehicles go through the day. But what's kind of funny or unique is after about 6:30 or 7 o'clock in the evening, you have a hard time finding a car going on 281. It's just the locals kind of going around. And then later in the evening, the lights are all flashing yellow. So it's unique. It's not just 24 hours, 7 days a week that we have constant traffic. What that does is makes it a little more challenging for TxDOT as well to, you know, have the money to direct to out here in a small town like that compared to the I-35 corridor, which we're in that same planning district, so we compete with that. But it's a unique situation. But we do work close with TxDOT. We've got some major improvements coming at a major intersection at 281 and 1431 coming. I know they're working on plans for major improvements to the intersection of Highway 71 and 281 South Town, things like that. So they're constantly planning as well. And we have a meeting every couple of weeks with the local engineer just to kind of stay on top of projects and everything with TxDOT.
So when we talk about all of these infrastructure plans, there's probably 30 other plans that are part of a comprehensive strategy for the city of Marble Falls. Where would you encourage people to find that plan? And I want to remind citizens, showing up at city council to talk about an agenda item, you're probably already too late to influence it. We want you to get involved earlier.
Well, I think you mentioned the comprehensive plan. You know, you have a comprehensive plan. The key to that is don't spend a lot of time and money creating that comprehensive plan and then stick it on the shelf somewhere. Use that comprehensive plan, at least the key principles in it, to drive what you do. Always kind of, if you're looking at some major item, say, is that in our comprehensive plan? Is that one of the things we identified as an important issue? Use that plan. Same thing as you're developing those plans is we always have citizen open houses and invitations. And unfortunately, they aren't always the heaviest attended events, but we do get some residents there that'll help give their input, give their opinions. So it's important to have that input when we can get it. We do that with our downtown master plan, our parks plan, our thoroughfare plan, those kinds of things. And so the key is keeping them up to date, and the key is actually using them. Don't just use them as a way to get a grant or something. Use them to drive the way we plan and make decisions about the city.
And for outsiders looking at Marble Falls, what do you want them to understand about Marble Falls before they visit or before they decide to move there? What would you encourage someone to look at?
Gosh, I mean, we're just in a great spot in Texas. My opinion, of course, I live here, is, you know, this, if you're going to live in Texas, this is a place to be. We kind of joke, we're close enough to Austin, but we're far enough away. Yeah. We've got within 20 minutes, you can get to four or five different major lakes. You got the hill country. It's just kind of in the center of an area that there's just a lot to do. And with that, like Marble Falls, especially, it's become a great place for families to either move here and raise their kids. And you see a lot of kids who graduated from a high school or college moved away and realized what they had. So they're moving back and raising their families here. So it's just a great place to raise a family.
Well, it's a tremendous place for families to come together and spend time on the lake as well. And that's been my experience. We go to Marble Falls as a family and go out on the boat and things like that. And it's always such a welcoming city. My boys enjoy your skate park. You have a great skate park that was put in. But that's what's neat about these towns. I see that forward vision that leaders from the past, leaders from today, are really cultivating a city that meets the needs of residents and, in your example, many tourists. And that's a delicate balance to find.
Well, and I think, and you said a key word there, and it's vision. I mean, that's what's been key to our leadership here, both on our city council and our Economic Development Corporation, is having a vision. And that doesn't mean 2 or 3 years from now. It means 20 years from now, your grandkids and your kids and what they're going to have here. That's, and we talked about quality of life a little bit. We've spent a lot of time and money on just continuing to add to the quality of life. You know, being a small town, and where I think back in the 50s, we still had dirt roads, to where we are today. One thing, you don't have a lot of sidewalks, trails, things like that. We've spent a lot of time and money adding trails, adding sidewalks, and connectivity for pedestrians, things like that. The other thing we had, our lake is our biggest asset. We say, number probably 5-6 years ago, kind of the city and the EDC partnered together. The lake was kind of hard to, if you didn't have a boat, the lake was hard to access. You go down to the park, you could sit on the edge of the lake, but it was hard to get in and out of the water and swim. So we built a beach along the lake, which is a bit of a challenge when you build a beach on a lake that can flood 18 feet high and moving 25 miles an hour. But we just put that aside and said, we're going to do it, and we'll just deal with it when it floods, and we'll put new sand in, or whatever we have to do. But
right,
making the lake more accessible to everybody, so if they don't have a boat, they can still come down and sit on the beach and enjoy the lake, getting in and out of the water, things like that. So huge focus on quality of life for the residents that are here, but also that's just a big reason why people want to move here, but also why businesses want to move here. Those businesses, small to medium-sized businesses, they want that quality of life for their employees too, because that helps keep the quality employee that they want.
Well, it's a great call out on quality of life, and a reminder that that's why you and other servants do the work that you do, is to increase quality of life. And it is an intentional decision every day and a full-time job for many people to make sure traffic is resolved, make sure you have water, make sure the lights come on when you flip the switch. All of those components of infrastructure are somebody's full-time job.
They are definitely a bunch of people. We got a bunch of really good people that do all that for us. We got great employees.
It is incredible to see the city staffs and meet the teams that make it all happen, because I'll go back to the mayor, city council, typically volunteer public servants representing the voice of the constituents. And then it is the employees and the staff of the city that make it all work and execute on that vision or those comprehensive plans that have made Marble Falls continue to flourish as a growing city.
That's right. No, we're continuing to do that. We feel like we're flourishing, a lot of good things to come. So,
well, as we close out today, where would you send people on your website, or where can they find more information to be great tourists in Marble Falls and to find all of these wonderful things that you're doing?
Well, the easiest way is just to drive on out here.
There you go.
And look around, because when you come over the hill on South 281 and you see the town and the lake and the hills, it sells you right there. Of course, we have the city website, a lot of information. Visit Marble Falls website and the EDC website. Also a lot of information about more commercial things and things like that. But yeah, lots of places to find information.
Well, Mayor John Packer, I've enjoyed the conversation. I truly enjoy your city. Marble Falls is a great spot that I visit multiple times a year and really get to immerse in. And it represents a beautiful part of Texas. So thank you for what you and your team are doing to build Texas.
Well, thank you very much for having us and highlighting Marble Falls. We're proud of Marble Falls.
Thank you for watching this episode of the Building Texas Show. Please like and subscribe on YouTube to follow along as we travel the state building Texas. Thank you to our sponsor, Chisos Boots, and their damn comfortable cowboy boots.